Are live.
We are now live.
Hi, Logan.
Good morning, everyone.
Call this meeting of the UIL State Executive Committee to order at this time. We do have a quorum present. We have an agenda before us, and we will be abiding by the University Interscholastic League Constitution and Contest rules. at this time, Caroline, let's get our first group in here, please. Okay, you let me know when everybody's here.
Yes, we still have a few more joining in.
Okay. Excuse me.
Okay, I think we have everybody.
All righty. Well, we're going to move forward with hearing AA. And the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is each of you who are potentially a part of this hearing, I'm going to ask that you unmute and that you raise your right hand. And Caroline is going to swear you in. And the correct answer is I do.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I do.
Thank you.
Very good. Hearing AA, College Station A&M Consolidated High School, Appeal of District 10-5A, Division 2, Executive Committee Decision regarding the eligibility of a student athlete, Section 443, changing schools for athletic purposes. Mr. Beasley?
DEC 10-5A, Division 2, met on August 17, 2020, and ruled that Dracavian Minor moved from Brian Rutter High School to College Station A&M Consolidated High School for athletic purposes with a vote of 5-0. Items number 1, 3, 5, 4, 5, and 6 were checked yes on the PAPF, and items number 1 and 6 were checked yes on the eligibility questionnaire. The student's guardian is appealing the ruling of the DEC.
All right, thank you. Let's talk a little bit about our process here as we move forward. The first folks that we're going to be talking to are family members. And please understand this is a brand new hearing, but it also allows us to use the information that was provided in the previous hearing. And so what we'll start with is asking a few questions, maybe verifying some information that was heard at the first hearing. Once we have done that with family members, then we will move to others. And then once we're finished with everyone, we'll get back to family. We may have some more questions for you, but also you'll be given the opportunity to say the things that you need to say in summary. With that having been said, I'll get started, and then there'll be others who will jump in, no doubt. Before we do that, let me ask the members of the committee to introduce themselves so you'll know who you're dealing with. Gary, we'll start with you, please.
Gary Martell, Superintendent, Moody ISD.
Johanna.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Johanna Denson. I'm a retired athletic administrator.
Mr. Wade.
Daryl Wade, retired athletic administrator.
Dr. Caldwell.
Curtis Caldwell, retired superintendent.
And Mike Motherell. I'm a retired superintendent as well. All right. Let's begin with this. It is our understanding that you have been, well, let's just go this way. The move to Consolidated was made to live with an aunt. And is the aunt present?
Yes.
And where is she? There she is. Okay, I'm sorry. Please identify yourself.
My name is Angela Minor Gooden. I am the aunt of Dracavian Minor.
All right, and let's move next to you there. Who is that?
Dracavian Minor.
Okay, next.
Coach Bedora, the head football coach, campus coordinator. Name is Consolidated.
Thank you. And?
Good morning. Buddy Reed, athletic director, CSISD.
Thank y'all for being here. So the move was made just prior to mom's how do you pronounce your name?
Dracavian.
Dracavian, thank you. Dracavian, sorry to hear about the loss of your mom. And know that your aunt stepped up and has been very helpful to you. And it's our understanding that you moved in with her just prior to your mom's passing. Is that a correct statement?
Yes, sir.
And that was, I think, October of 2018. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then you continued to go to school at that time at Rudder High School. The aunt was getting you back and forth, but also you had help from other people there at Rudder. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Now, let's talk a little bit about your father. Is he in the picture?
Yes, sir.
Is he here today?
No, sir.
Okay. But he is, I know for a little while he was out of touch, but I think he's back now. And where does he live now?
In Bryan.
He lives in Bryan. Okay. And he is the legal guardian. Is that true? Aunt, what can I call you? Just Angela?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Angela, is he the legal guardian?
He signed over guardianship to me.
Okay. And it, do we have that in the form of a legal document?
He came to CSISD with me to enroll him, and he signed it off, and it was notarized here at CSISD.
Okay. I think probably there's going to be some question about that aspect of things as we move forward, but we'll get back to that at another time. Dracavian, you in the fall of 2019, there was a little discipline action, something that came up about some horseplay, and you missed a homecoming game. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You made some comments, even to your aunt. I don't want to play here anymore. Angela, you said that didn't worry you a whole lot because that was something he said quite often. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then you were concerned a little bit about the amount of your schoolwork that you weren't receiving, possibly, from the school there at Rudder High School. You were worried about being behind and failing. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, Angela, Dracavian's dad gave verbal consent for him to go to Consolidated where your kids attend. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And there was, again, some concern about the two things, I think, academics and then transportation.
Yeah.
All right. Your work schedule made it difficult for you getting back to Rudder High School. Let's talk, Dracavian, about you say that you did not ever quit any sports and basketball specifically. And you said you'd never do that because it helped you keep your grades up. Tell us about that a little bit. it's our understanding from one of the coaches that maybe you didn't show back up.
I was at my friend's house, and Coach G, he said he was going to come pick me up, but he never came to come pick me up.
Okay.
That's why I missed the game.
All right. And was it shortly after that then that you ended up changing schools?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, did you have some other attendance issues during basketball practice, Rickavian?
Well, when I couldn't come because somebody didn't pick me up.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Do we have other questions for the family right now? Anybody? All right. Let's move. And as I said earlier, you folks, we will get back to you at the end. You'll have the opportunity to say the things you need to say. Okay. All right. Let's go to folks from Rudder High School. Who do we have?
I'm Coach Eric Ezar. I'm the head football coach and the campus coordinator at Brian Rudder High School.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm Mike Carabine. I'm the head boys basketball coach at Rudder High School.
Thank you.
And I'm Rachel Layton. I'm the principal at Rudder High School.
All righty. I'm going to start with you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm Janice Williamson. I'm the executive director of athletics for Brian ISD.
Okay, thank you. Y'all have a good contingent here today then. Appreciate that. I'm going to start with Ms. Layton. You said that you were the principal there. Let's talk about when Dracavian was in ISS.
I'm going to stop you right there because this is my first year.
Oops. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, the coaches are going to have more knowledge.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go there then.
I'll be glad to answer those questions for you.
All right, Mr. Is it Azar or Ezar?
Ezar, just easy to remember.
Okay, Mr. Ezar. There was some discussion about the fact that Dracavian did not have all the information he needed to be able to complete his assignments while he was in ISS. Any comment on that?
Well, let me kind of give you just a quick history of everything that kind of happened so that y'all kind of have the whole picture. Basically,
my question first.
Okay, the ISS. Okay, so, I wasn't aware of the ISS work that he did not get. At the time, he was in ISS for a horseplay incident that happened during football. He was in, once he came out of ISS, he was, the football pro. There wasn't an issue with the football program. He was able to come back and finish the season. So, I know there were some things that he said he did not get to work back from, but that's really all I know about the ISS as far as he didn't get the work from his teachers is really all I know in that situation.
Which one of you will answer the question, did he quit the sport? Because he indicates he did not. Would that be Coach Carabine or Carabine?
Yes, sir. Coach Carabine should answer that.
Yes. We were playing in a basketball tournament down at Fulshear High School. And on the Friday evening, I took Dre out of the game, not for any discipline problems, but he just wasn't playing well. And, from that moment on, he basically sulked, wouldn't join the team in huddles, sat by himself in the locker room, wouldn't join us at the table when we ate at the post-game meal. Mm-hmm. So once we got back to Brian, I tried to talk to him, and he rushed off. This was a Friday night. And then we went back Saturday for the game. Dre did not show up for the game. And, that's the last time I really saw him. I had contacted his auntie the next week because he had some gear that I was missing. But that's my take is that he quit basketball because of the incident that, happened Friday night, didn't show for the game Saturday, didn't come tell me he was quitting, didn't have any further communication with him while I was trying to talk to him.
He indicated that he was unable to get there because somebody didn't pick him up. Can you speak to that?
Well, yeah, Coach G, who Dre was referring to, is Coach Gordwin, who's now coaching at Willis. And, Coach G often did pick him up. But we also tell our kids that if there's any issue with the, you know, players getting to the school to meet the bus per se, that they have my phone number as, you know, as well. And there were, you know, there were previous times during practice, there were 6 a.m. practices, because we have you know, 8 teams here at Cottonwood Girls with only 2 gyms. So there were times that we practiced at 6 in the morning. And he even contacted me on some days where, you know, he said that he would be late or that he didn't have a ride. So I don't think that it was an issue of him knowing not how to contact me. I just think that he did not contact me.
Okay. Now, Coach Izar, you indicated that you had something that you wanted to talk to us about.
Well, I was just saying, when I'd heard, I mean, I feel like I have a great pulse on our kids. And when I first got here to Brian Rutter was last fall was my first year. I got here really April of 2019. It was the first football season. And really took a liking to Quavian and tried to help him out and try to, you know, get him to do the right thing and helped him get to where he needed to go at times. I had heard from some kids after football season in basketball that he was going to quit basketball and he was leaving to go to Consol. So I went, made a home visit to his house to be sure he understood everything that was going on. His aunt would know. I was an athletic director in Willis for 6 years, so I feel like I know the rules pretty well. I knew that, you know, with the guardianship, there was going to be an issue. And if he quit the team, which is what the kids were telling me, then that was going to be a big issue for him being eligible at A&M Consolidated. So I went and I tried to counsel them that, you know, if you leave now, you're basically quitting because it's the middle of the season. He said he was upset with Coach Carabine and couldn't play for him. And I said, man, you can't do that. You have to finish the season. If you decide to do whatever you do after that, but you have to finish the season. And at that time, talking to his aunt, she said, well, no, I'm moving him because it's better for us. And I said, well, I understand. I said, but, you know, it's going to be tough because you're not finishing the season, you're quitting. And so, I mean, I tried to explain that to him at that time. So I wanted to be sure I was up front. I didn't want anything, you know, DeQuavian, I wanted him to have an opportunity to do the best he could. And I felt this would be an issue with the guardianship that if he did leave, it would be a problem.
Did you consider, as you filled out the previous athletic participation form, the loss that he had suffered and the fact that his dad was not always available and that his aunt was the one that took care of him. And although we understand the guardianship aspect of it, does it make sense to you that he made that change of residences?
Well, the issue to me was, just looking at it, was that he was at school. I mean, his mom had passed away the year before I got there in 2018, so the fall of 2018. So he was in Rutter all that year and half the year through 2019. Okay. So, I mean, he was, I thought, flourishing at Rutter and doing well and everything. And then the basketball issue came and, you know, if he didn't like the basketball coach and then you quit and go somewhere else, I mean, that's kind of why the UL rules are there. I did go to his house to be sure. I counseled him on, like, look, you can't just do that.
Okay.
And so that's why I made the visit.
Good answer. Thank you. That's good clarity. Ms. Williamson, do you have anything to add?
I would just add that I hear a little bit about the issue of the no assignment and ISS. However, academics, very few people pull a student out of school 2 weeks before the end of a semester. Typically, if it's academics, you let them finish so they have the best chance possible instead of moving them into new, you know, academic requirements, and something might not have been covered there. So okay. That would be my problem.
All right. Mr. Wade.
I guess Coach Carabine, quick question. Was there any other issues with Vercavian prior to that night when you took him out? In other words, he wasn't playing well and I guess was upset because you took him out. Were there any other issues leading up to that?
Talking on that particular night, or
well, no, just throughout the, you know,
Well, not really. No, I mean, he was a, you know, he was a sophomore on varsity, his first year playing up. And, you know, there were certainly some growing pains, but, you know, just the issue of getting to practice sometimes was really the only thing. I mean, he really was not a discipline problem as far as, you know, asking him to, you know, do what I asked him to do, you know, so there was no issues there really. No.
All right. I have a question, but I can wait for Dracavy when he comes back.
Okay. All right. Anything else for anyone from Rudder? Okay. Yes, Ms. Denson.
Yes, for the coaches. My question, I know you had a conversation with the aunt after the Dracavian left. Was there any conversation with any family member, aunt, father, prior to this move? I know father was in and out of the picture. Because obviously he had been through some very difficult times the year before. And I do realize that there are some new positions as far as football and so forth. But is there anyone in the school that's had contact from the athletic department with the athlete other than that one time that you've gone over to have a conversation with the mother?
Well, no, I mean, so you understand, like, okay, with his aunt, we came and went and talked to his aunt on a Monday after we had heard that he had quit basketball and that he was going to A&M Salted. So that was before he left, not after he left. So I want to be sure I clarify that.
Okay, thank you for that.
We had, I mean, I talked to his aunt on many occasions just trying to be sure he was able to get rides to school. We had an assistant principal who helped him. We were trying to be sure his grades were well. We knew the situation when, you know, his mom passing, which was a terrible situation, and we were just trying to help him, you know, have the best situation with academics and athletics and trying to get him there. So, yes, we did talk to him, the Dracavian and his aunt, you know, multiple times.
Okay. So it sounds like that you had a very open line of communication with his aunt. Is why,
yes, ma'am.
I'm here. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mr. Wade?
Yeah, Coach, real quick. So the Monday was the Monday after the incident at Fulshear?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to ask Coach Ezar, could he speak to the, since we're talking about communication and with the family and everything, about the text information that was on there trying to get him to come back? Or
I'd be glad.
Coach Sin, yeah. I think that while we have you, I'd like to know a little more about that, because Coach Reed did include it in some documentation and had some concerns about it. So I'd just like to know.
I'll be glad to answer that. I think if you look at the two versions that were sent, one was sent where it was cut off, where it showed that Dracavian had texted me first. He was asking some questions. Dracavian still talks to a lot of our players. I had told them that I had some letters from him from colleges that I wanted to be sure that he got. And they had talked to him, and so he texted me about trying to get those letters. there had been a lot of rumors from our kids that he was going to move back with his dad in the Bryan ISD, so that was the reason for those, hey, are you know going to come back? But, I mean, I still care for the kid. I want him to have an opportunity to go to, you know, get college looks. I know Coach Fedora is trying to help him do that too. So, I mean, I do deeply care about the kid, so I was trying to help him in that sense.
But there is some information after you were very – whoever the coach was it you or another coach on your staff?
That was me.
That says because the football coach was involved.
Yeah, but that's me.
He said, okay, thank you, and I think that you answered. Then it was, when you coming back, I can't help you get in school if you're not here. No way Con's 2022 is better than ours. You know there is no Palmer or Azars over
that's
there.
Me. Well, I was just the phrase that he – I'd heard from kids that he was coming back and going to live with his dad in the BISD, and, you know, I helped him a lot. I got him here. Palmer helped him. He had a good support system here. I'm just best for kids. So I hope that answers that question. I wasn't trying to re-recruit him back. I mean, his dad lives in the BISD. So, I mean, when he had reached out to me, I was just talking to him in a conversation like, you know, any kid, you know, he's just a kid. I mean, I'm always trying to help kids. So that's what I was doing.
Thank you, Coach. All right. We're going to move forward. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Williamson.
Also, at this point, to my knowledge, we had not received the PAPF on him. And so knowing what we know, that if your parent is alive, if they reside in the school district, then that's where you're supposed to go to school. In addition, we are less distance from where he currently lives with his aunt than College Station or Consolidated. So if Bryan College Station being so compact, he's actually closer to the Bryan schools than he is to the Consolidated high schools.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to move forward now to, and typically the receiving district, in this case, the campus being Consolidated High School, has very little to offer us in these cases about the reason for the change. That's what we're about. But we will give that opportunity to Mr. Reed or whomever if they have anything to add about the reasons for the change.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, when Dre moved in, that was the first time I ever met the young man. And, you know, the thing that I'm going to bring up after hearing everything from his aunt and his mom, you know, I learned throughout my coaching career, you know, one thing our deal is to try to help young men. And, you know, like I told him in that situation, you know, God deals you cards, you play the hand you're dealt. You know, losing a mother was very tough on him. You know, he lost his mother, who I know he loved to death. And like I told him, all you got to know is your mom's always going to oversee you. She's going to be watching above, you know, so you got to make her proud in what you're doing with your academics, because that's the most important thing. I know with his dad being incarcerated, you know, that's what the whole reason was that I felt was for the move, moving with his, you know, getting guardianship from his aunt. His dad switched that over to him. And because I believe he has the two cousins that are going to school here to make that work out, you know, for the travel, getting back and forth. And so, you know, my main thing is this young man is going through a big, tough time in his life. And it's our job as a whole staff and everything is just to keep his head up and keep him focused, because, you know, with this day and age, everything is crazy. And
okay.
Trying to just help him through life right now.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Reed, do you have anything to add?
No, sir. The fact that he's met all criteria to enroll here in CSISD, and nothing other than that. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have. I know
I missed what you said. It's something about enrolled.
Yeah, he has met all the criteria for enrollment here in CSISD,
okay.
And the guardianship is on file here in the district and at the school campus. And think you have all that in the info snap. And, you know, be glad to answer any questions you might have.
When was that guardianship finalized?
December 10th. I stand to be corrected on the exact date, but I think it was around December 9th or 10th. That's when he enrolled at A&M Consolidated High School.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to the chair, district chair. Ms. Nelson?
Yes, sir.
All right. The vote was 5-0, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And let's see, you are from Lamar?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell us why you think the vote went as it did, based on what you heard that day.
The clarifying questions that were asked were with regard to Dracavian and when and why he left Brian Rutter's basketball program. He clarified for the coach that asked that he left due to grades and that basketball, he felt, kept him on his grades. There were also some clarifying questions about the timeline for when he was at each school, when he enrolled at A&M Consolidated, and also some clarifying questions as to exactly what type of guardianship was established with his aunt. And she clarified for us that it was a power of attorney that was given to her. She also was able to clarify for us that his dad was no longer incarcerated and was living in Bryan at the time when the PAPF was filed and came to our DEC. Those were the questions that were asked prior to the vote and the testimony that was given.
Okay, I'm gonna go to staff now right quick. Mr. Beasley, Dr. Brightup, power of attorney is what we're talking about here versus a guardianship, a legal guardianship. Let's talk about that a moment, please. Hello?
Yeah, power of attorney. We do not recognize that. That's not a what we define as a legal guardianship. That's normally filed at the county clerk's office, has been on file there for at least one calendar year, and the individual has had lived with that guardian for one calendar year. So doing the power of attorney, we do not recognize at UIL.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, my controls were fouled up there, but yes, Mr. Beasley got it right. That any guardianship must be in effect for at least 1 year before it's a legal guard and a legal residence.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like, the student was labeled homeless at Bryan, I'm assuming because dad was incarcerated. And if dad is not incarcerated, but he has moved into a home in Console with a family, so did they classify him as homeless, doubled up? I'm asking someone from the school to give me some information there, because I think we need to get some more information about that.
Are you asking Consolidated now?
Yes, Console, if he is classified as homeless, doubled up in your district under McKinney Vento.
Okay. Can we get an answer from that to either Mr. Reed or Coach?
Well, I ask that question again because I'm trying to figure out what you're asking on that, because you're saying he was with as homeless, which that was with the Rudder deal to be able to, where he was still able to go to Rudder at that time, correct?
Yes, he would have been homeless if, I think, because dad was incarcerated, and they probably, it was a good thing to do that because it opened up some other help for him. Is he labeled homeless in Console, is my question.
I don't believe so. I believe it's labeled with the guardian, but, you know, of course, I'm not the human reason or any of that stuff. So.
I'm assuming Mr. Reed is going to find out that answer.
Here, Mr. Reed.
Yes, sir. I went over to the registrar's office, and she's trying to pull up right now exactly what we have on file, and I'll be glad to do that.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, even if he filed for under the McKinney Vento Act, he still has to clear the hurdle of changing schools for athletic purposes.
Sure, sure, no doubt. All righty. I think we have talked to everybody. We're going to go back now. Does anybody have any questions for anyone besides the family at this point? Then let's go back to Angela and to Dracavian. Do you have questions for them before we allow them to provide their closing statements? Yes, Mr. Wade.
I have, I guess, three, if I could, real quick. I guess I'll start with Don. Is that Angela, correct?
Yes.
I think Ms. Williamson mentioned that Rudder was actually closer to where he's going now to, I guess, your residence. Was there any consideration of him staying there, or what was the reason you decided to bring him to Consolidated? I know you've mentioned some things, but what was the bottom line?
The bottom line reason, the reason why I moved him, or I had asked my brother to move him, is because I have two daughters that attend Consol. They're bused from my home to Consol. So they have transportation to school and from school, which made it easier for me to be able to go to work knowing that they had a ride to school, they had a ride home, I could continue to work with no problem. And also for the simple fact that it was hard, it was difficult for me to try to keep track of him knowing that he was going to Rudder, but I had to make sure that, one, he got to school, two, that he got home.
So he does ride the bus.
Yes, he does ride the bus.
All right. Last couple of questions are for Dracavian, I guess. Dracavian, the night at Fulshear, you know, you got upset with Coach because he took you out of the ball game, and you didn't get in the team huddle, you didn't sit at the table with him. Did you tell the coach you needed a ride the next morning, or did you just leave?
I told Coach G only got to school after we ate.
And what was his answer?
He said he was going to come get me He said he's calling. I had called him. He didn't answer.
Okay. Last question. Your dad is back home in I guess Bryan now, is that correct? Do you feel comfortable living with your dad, or you prefer to stay with your aunt?
I would prefer to stay with my aunt.
That's all. Thank you.
All righty. Any other questions? All right. Mr. Reed, did you get an answer?
Yes, sir, I did. For clarification, we do have power of attorney on file here with the district in regards to Ms. Miner and Ms. Gooden in reference to Mr. Miner.
And did you get an answer on the homeless status?
He was gone when y'all were asking, so you'll need to ask that same question.
Come back if you don't mind.
Was he declared homeless at Consol?
No, sir, not at Consol. No, sir, because the mom, the aunt has lived here the entire time that he was being transported. So, no, sir.
Mr. Martel, does that answer your question? Okay. All right. Angela Drakavian, your time to speak. We're getting close to the end here. Anything you need to say that hadn't been said?
Basically, the whole reason for me moving him was I wasn't thinking about any sport at any point in time. I really wasn't concerned with the sport. He's gonna play. But my first thing was his grades. When he brought up to me the day that he called me and told me he wanted to move, of course I was excited because now I can put you with my girl and I can pay attention to everybody at one time versus me having to pay attention to this school and pay attention to this school because my girl's grades are great. Both of them are in honors classes and I can't help him if he's somewhere else. I can't put my foot on his neck the way it needs to be put on his neck to make sure that he's doing what he's supposed to do. If he's at a different district that doesn't communicate with me. Because at that time, the only thing that they called me for was disciplinary action. If it was disciplinary, I got the notification about him not being able to attend homecoming because of the disciplinary action. But anything as far as his grades, I never received anything, any type of communication for that. And he was residing with me. Yes, his father is his father. My brother was in jail at the time. I had no control over that. Yes, my brother is out and he is in Bryan right now, but he's not, even if he was to go back and live with his father, he's not zoned to the Rudder district. I mean, to Rudder, it would be to Bryan House. But still, that it didn't allow me to be able to watch over him the way that I needed to. And I couldn't help him with his grades the way that I needed to. At Consol, I can help him, or I can give him the help that he needs. Even though he has to be an advocate for himself, because he has to be the one to push his grades. I mean, everybody has a driving force behind him. I'm what that is. I'm his mom because his mom is gone. And when I stepped into that role, I took it on full force like he was one of my own kids. Like, I love him like he's my own. And he knows that. And he knows whatever I do to my kids, I'll do to him. Whatever I'll do for my kids, I'll do for him. He knows this. I did it to create a sense of normalcy in his life, to keep everything normal because of the situation that he was going through at the time. That's the only reason why I left him there in the beginning. If you talk to Ms. Palmer, I told Ms. Palmer from the beginning that I need him to start thinking about moving to Consol. That was something that we mentioned in the beginning because it was easier for me. Like I said, I was never thinking about any sport. I could care less whether he plays a sport or not. But if that's what helps him to maintain his grade, then I want him to do whatever's going to keep him out of trouble and maintain his grade. But it's definitely not for any athletic reason. And as far as Coach Caravine, he did contact me. And we did speak to each other. And the conversation that we had the day I turned in his uniform, he asked me, he said, "Dre's a good kid. I hate to see him go." He said, "But don't you have two daughters that go to Consol?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, that just makes sense to me." So, I mean, I wasn't aware of that it was a, I didn't even know that it was an issue between him and Drakavian or anything. So for that matter, I don't understand where that came from, but okay.
All right. Well spoken. Drakavian, do you have anything to say?
Coach Isaac had said that I had told people that I was going to move back to my dad. I never told anybody I was moving back to my dad. Like last season during football, I told them that I might be having a move to Gasol, and that was way before anything had happened. I told them that I might be having a move, and then that was it. So, like, really, I didn't even tell nobody that I was going to be moving, just moving, like it was, like, certain and final. That's all.
Okay. Well, I think all of us can say to Angela, Aunt, well done in taking care of family. And no matter what happens here today, good luck with not only Drakavian, but your two daughters. Okay? All right. Any comments or questions at this point?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Ms. Denson.
Question, do we still have a waiver issue since we're talking about power of attorney? Compared to, okay.
Yes, we do.
All right, very good then. Thank you for that clarification.
Any approval, if this group votes to grant the appeal, it would then be dependent upon a waiver for his eligibility, a residency waiver, or guardianship waiver. Yes, sir, Mr. Wade.
A quick question. Angelo, at Rutter, I'm assuming that, did you have, I'm assuming that the father was incarcerated at the time, his mother's passing. Did you have any documentation on file at Rutter that you were the person now in guardianship of Drakavian?
I'm unaware of what my brother had in place, but I do know that anytime any disciplinary action were to take place, they contacted me to let me know. So I knew all about the disciplinary whatever went on.
So that you never went to the school, in other words, to let them know that, you know, you were going to now be in charge. They just started calling you. Is that correct?
I spoke with Ms. Palmer. Me and Ms. Palmer had a great relationship. Like, I spoke with her all the time. So she knew about that Drakavian was living with me, and if there was anything that she needed from me to let me know, and if there was anything that I needed from her, that's how I communicated with brother, was through Ms. Palmer.
Thank you. And the last thing, just to second what Mr. Motherall said, thanks for stepping up. Young men need people in their lives.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Colwell.
Just a real quick couple of clarification questions. If he goes back to Rutter, is he going to continue to live with his aunt?
If he were to go back to, well, that's a question for her, I guess, where he would live, but you have to assume that. And she's saying she's not going to send him back to Rutter. Is that correct?
Correct. That's not an option. Like, he is where he is. As long as he's residing with me. And now, unless his father decides to, like, take over and say, yeah, I got him from here, as long as he's been with me, he's going to be attending consult.
Okay. So regardless of what's decided here, he's going to stay at Consolidated.
Yes, sir.
And he's been at Consolidated all spring.
He's been there, yes, since Christmas.
Since Christmas. How were his grades this spring?
Pretty good. Oh, his grades were good.
Having a hard time hearing Drakavian. What was that?
Y'all talking about all the online stuff with the COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah. He was passing.
Okay.
Consolidated, is he online to graduate on time?
As far as I know, he is. I wish the principal could be here and speak on his behalf. She had another meeting, and but as far as I know, yes, sir, he is on schedule to graduate. Yes, sir.
And he's a junior, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is he currently competing on the JV? And I'm assuming we were talking about grades with him leaving 2 weeks before the end of that semester at Rutter. If he, you know, from a credit standpoint, I'm assuming he's good on credits. Coach Fedora?
His credits are fine right now, and he's working with our varsity and our JV. Of course, you know, like everybody, until we have our scrimmage, we don't know who's going to be what, but right now he's working mainly with our varsity guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Dr. Bridup, you have anything to say?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. It's time to make a decision. Let me just say well done by all parties. Thank you for the clarity that you've brought to this. Always difficult situations. We know that tragedy like this can bring about unusual circumstances, but we also have to look at all aspects and what did take place and if there were any issues and all. So tough call as always. It's time to make a decision, either grant the appeal and overturn the ruling by the District Executive Committee, which would declare Drakavian Minor eligible for varsity athletics pending a waiver based on the guardianship at Consolidated High School, or to deny the appeal. All in favor of granting the appeal, please raise your right hand. All in favor of denying, raise your right hand. It is unanimous. All right, Drakavian. Good luck. Stay after it. And listen to your aunt. She's got your best interest at heart, okay? At this time, know that if you have any questions, that Mr. Beasley is who you called. Did I get that vote correct a while ago? That was unanimous. Okay. And you can give him a call. At this time, all who were involved in this hearing will be removed from the Zoom call. Thank you. Okay, always tough. We move forward, hearing BB. Caroline, do we have our folks?
Yes, I'm going to bring in those in the waiting room now.
Okay.
Okay, we have all of our parties online.
Okay. Want to welcome you and going to ask that we begin by being sworn in. Would ask that each of you unmute and raise your right hand, and Caroline will swear you in. The appropriate response will be, I do.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. This is hearing BB, Poteet High School, appeal of District 14-3A Division 1 Executive Committee decision regarding the eligibility of a student athlete, Section 443, changing schools for athletic purposes. We do have two students involved, and Mr. Beasley will mention that here in just a moment. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to clarify that Jonathan Guzman enrolled in Pleasant and First, and then Jonathan enrolled 9 days later, and they both had two separate DEC meetings. So when I read this, you'll understand, because the PAPFs have different markings from one student to the other. So District 14-3A Division 1 met on August 11, 2020, and ruled that Jonathan Guzman and Jonathan Guzman moved from Pleasanton High School to Poteet High School for athletic purposes with a vote of 6-0. For Jonathan, items number 1, 3, and 6 were checked yes on the PAPF, and items number 1 and 6 were checked yes on the eligibility questionnaire. Jonathan, items number 2 and 6 were checked yes on the PAPF, and items number 1, 6, and 8 were checked yes on the eligibility questionnaire. The student's parents are appealing the ruling of the DEC.
What we're going to do is we're going to talk about student A, who is Jonathan, first, and then student B. We'll do it all in the same time frames here, but we'll vote on them separately, obviously. And let's talk a little bit about process, because what we'll do is we'll talk to family members, and then we'll, once we're finished with them, we'll talk to everyone else involved in the hearing, ask any questions needed, get clarity there. We'll come back then at the end, ask some more questions possibly of family, but also allow them to summarize and say the things they need to say. I want to make something clear here. There was some concern, and as there should have been, over the fact that this was done in closed session, or at least partially. And I think our chair is here today, and she will admit that that was just an error on her part and should not have been done in closed session. But the thing I want to make, and that happens every once in a while, I bet it doesn't happen for her again. And but the thing that you need to know is this is a new hearing. So that what happened there doesn't matter. We are going to take some of the information that we received from that hearing and use it. But this is a brand new hearing, so we're starting over, and that should no longer be a concern for anyone. All right? With that having been said, I'm going to start with some clarifications and some questions of family members. And let's see, the family is, I'm assuming, over here. Who do we have?
Got Dad, Jonathan.
And Betty, Mom.
Would you, as you, y'all are so distant from us, and you got your mask on, which is great. I need to see, as you're fixing to speak, we need to see a hand go up, okay? So we'll know who's speaking. All right, start over, please.
Dad, Jonathan.
Okay.
Mom, Betty.
And who else do we have?
Jonathan Guzman.
And Jonathan Guzman.
Charles Camarillo, Superintendent.
And then Darby House, Athletic Director.
Okay, thank you. As I said, we'll be talking to family, but I wanted to know who else we had in there. We're going to be talking, first of all, about Jonathan, and let's just start with this. How long have y'all lived in Poteet?
We've lived there for 17 years.
17 years.
Correct.
All right. You were living in Poteet, going to school in Pleasanton. That's about an 8-minute trip, the way I understand it. Is that correct? Or 8 miles, anyway. Distance between the two?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. And what prompted you to have the kids in Pleasanton? Mom or Dad?
Well, we moved them in fifth grade. So they did go to school. They started school here in Poteet. We ended up moving them in fifth grade because I had picked up subbing over there, and it was just a lot more convenient for me to have them go over there and then have them go here, and then I'm over there. So that was the main reason why we had moved them the first time.
Are you still doing that?
No, I no longer am working there because my mom passed away May 31st. And I was planning on going back, but it's just been really hard for me. So I'm taking time off for that.
Is this the first year you're taking time off?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I won't be going back.
We understand that the reasons, Jonathan, that you gave for making the change was, first of all, to join the UT on-ramp program. It's not a, as you described, not a typical dual credit program. And other reasons were that you know a lot of folks there. Dad graduated there. It's my hometown, hometown, I guess. And they have a competitive barbecue team. I'd like to be involved in that. Are those the reasons that that the change was made?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, there was some discussion about, did you have a preference on which side of the ball you played?
No, sir. I was willing to play wherever the team needed me.
Okay. And your description was you were scheduled a two-way starter.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You never had a disagreement with the coaches, and you never quit anything, correct?
No, sir, I haven't quit anything.
You never had a disagreement?
No, sir.
That's what your letter said. Okay. You talked about the coronavirus muddying the water a little bit because referring to this UT on-ramp program, you didn't think that Poteet was taking transfers, didn't know whether you qualified as a transfer because you live there, but you learned that you weren't a transfer. So is that what created the change?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you went to workouts at Pleasanton to start the school year, August 3rd and 4th, correct?
Yes, sir.
Did not return on the 5th. Why report to Pleasanton?
Can I
I would like to ask him first.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Can you read the question? I'm sorry.
Why did you not why did you report to Pleasanton at all?
Because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to move back to Poteet or whether what was going on. So I was just keeping how my normal day was until I found out that I was able to go back.
Okay. Mom, you had something to say?
Yes, sir. So we were planning on, like I said, moving probably like in March. And I did let with my husband's work also. But the whole COVID thing, they cut hours and stuff like that. So we were still up in the air because he was going to have different jobs. I did let Coach Liska know that as well, that we were still uncertain about my husband's job and that the boys may have to come back to Poteet. Of course, everything happened with the whole COVID and all that other stuff. And we wanted to get Jonathan in over here because you can only take that on-ramp program your junior and senior year. So that's what prompted us to get him in here for junior and senior year. But like I said, everything happened. We didn't know if there was even going to be school. We didn't know what was going to happen. And then my mom passed away May 31st, because I know that's a big thing, is they're asking, why did we wait till the last minute? Well, May 31st, my mom passed away, and that was the last thing on my mind, honestly, was the whole schooling thing. But then once it got closer, he did keep his normal routine. We didn't change anything because we figured we were transfers, so they weren't going to take us. And then I got word that we wouldn't be transfers because we actually live here. We've always lived here. We've never moved from here. So once they told me that I was able to do it, that Tuesday that he had practice, he didn't even know. Like, he didn't even know what was going on. They had told me that they could take him in because he wouldn't be a transfer. I wanted to jump on it because I didn't know if they were taking only a certain amount of students for that on-ramp program. So I had jumped on it, and that's when I went and I did the transferring for him because to get him into the school.
Thank you. Thank you. Good answer. Appreciate it. Okay. Do we have other questions from members? Okay, at this time, and it's as I described it earlier, what we're going to do is we're going to switch our focus to some other folks. We will be back to you, family, to answer some more questions and then to say anything that you need to say. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Let's go to Pleasanton. And who do we have representing Pleasanton today? You're going to unmute. Need to unmute.
Yes, sir. My name is Tab Dumont. I'm the athletic director. Coach Stephen Liska is also in on the Zoom. Coach Stephen Liska is the man that's been working with these kids hand in hand many days, many minutes. And so I'm going to defer to him to answer in the questions. And if y'all need something else from me, I will be here.
Thank you, Tam.
Yes, sir.
Coach Liska.
Yes, sir.
You are the one who completed the previous athletic participation form?
Yes, sir.
And you state that this young man quit something and that it was changed for athletic purposes?
Yes, sir. I mean, he came to 2 days, the first 2 days, and we had the discussion again. This discussion of him playing on both sides of the ball started in at Christmas, before the Christmas break. And then again, during the COVID workouts in June and July, and it was the same discussion from the beginning. His priority was starting offensive center because he started as a sophomore on our offensive line as a center for 10 games, and was pretty good. And I did not ever tell him he was not going to play defense, but he was, trying to say, he wanted to play defense the entire, he wanted to play defense. And I said, you will get to play defense, but your priority is starting center because a center is a very important role on a football team.
And that conversation began, you said, in December?
Yes, sir. That began in December and kept going. Again, we probably had it 3 more times between the last day that I saw him on August the 4th.
So you're – analysis of that discussion was that he did not want to play center, or he was just really emphasizing the defensive side of the ball.
It got to where he was telling me that I needed to find another center. And, then it got to when I got the PAPF, that was just to me, he did not want to play center. So that's why I checked 6. And obviously, when our schools are 8 miles apart, if we're going to allow a kid to, tell a coach what he's going to do and where he's going to play, then he can just, sign off and go to another school. I mean, that's why the PAPF is in place. And that's why I checked that on the PAPF.
Okay. Questions from members?
Yeah, Coach, you said he told you that you need to go get another center. When was that? Was that here in August, or was it earlier in the year?
Yes.
And then the next day or so, he transferred?
That would have been on that Tuesday, the 4th. And then the younger brother stayed with us for 6 more days at practice and came to practice.
Okay.
Mr. Chair? Right.
Yes, sir.
May I ask Coach Liska, he also checked number 2, which says the student was recruited to attend. Do you have any background on that?
Was that not on Jonathan, on the other one?
Yeah, that was
student?
On the other
one. Yeah.
We're going to get to that here just very shortly.
I got you. Okay.
Martell, thank you.
I have them all stacked up here. I guess I was looking at the wrong one.
I fully understand. Okay. Anything that you want to add, Mr. Dumont?
No, sir. I mean, Coach Liska pretty much said it all. I will let you know that Coach Liska was in direct contact with me as the athletic director through this whole process. And it started at the end of last season, like he said, in December during the off season. Coach Liska runs everything through me. We work very closely together, and he keeps me abreast on what's going on with our kids. And so I do vouch for what he said. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, let's move then to Poteet. And you gentlemen have already introduced yourselves, I believe. Mr. Camarillo.
Yes, sir.
And normally the receiving school, in this case, you folks at Poteet, have very little to offer us as far as the actual reason for the change. Do you have anything you would like to add related to that?
You know, in my understanding, I believe there was intent to move no matter what. They were just confused as to whether Poteet had announced that because of COVID, we would not be taking any transfers. They assumed because they were going to Pleasanton that they would be a transfer. Once we clarified that because they lived in Poteet their whole life, they were no longer a transfer. They were not a transfer, but would have to register as a resident student. The moment Mama found that out, she made the change in advance of even Jonathan knowing it.
Yes, sir.
One thing I remember from the first DUC meeting, Coach Liska indicated that by the end of the 2 days, because there was a change in the depth chart, that Jonathan would probably be playing both sides of the ball. So therefore, if that's everything the boy wanted, then why would he still leave?
Okay, I think we have a little misunderstanding there. From what I understand, he did not want to play on the offensive side of the ball, according to what Coach Liska was saying.
I'll let the child talk to that part.
We'll have that opportunity later. Mr. Wade?
Yeah, Coach Liska, real quick, did you ever talk to the parents about his being disgruntled about playing on the offensive side?
No, me and Mom, you know, texted and talked, and she would always say that, you know, she lets Jonathan handle his business. So that's where it fell.
So you, well, I guess, so you never did mention to her that he didn't want to play on one side of the ball?
No, ma'am. No, sir. She, like I said, she always said Jonathan is handling his business, and that's, you know, that's the way it went.
Okay. All right. Now, we're going to, before we get back to the parents to finish up Jonathan, we're going to go to Jonathan real quick, okay? And then we're going to cycle through this thing just like we've already done it. And then we'll let you, parents, we'll let y'all conclude on both boys at the same time a little bit later, all right? So on Jonathan, Mom and Dad, well, and Jonathan, you're there. You continue to participate in football at Pleasanton for several days after Jonathan made the change to Poteet. Can you tell us why?
Are you asking me or him? I'm sorry.
I was asking Jonathan, actually.
Okay. Can I just correct? His name is Joe Nathan. That's probably why he's...
I am so sorry.
It's thank okay.
I'll try not to make that same mistake again.
No, thank no, you. That's why I was just like, it's just Joe Nathan, so...
It's an unusual name, but I like it. Thank you. Joe Nathan, why did you continue to stay at Pleasanton while your brother moved?
Well, at first I wanted to stay in Pleasanton because I was more comfortable, but then my parents moved me just so I could stay with them, and it was more convenient.
Okay. All right. Mom, you have anything to add to that? Dad?
Yes, we were going to keep, like I had told, I did tell Coach Liska that I kind of let them decide on where they wanted to go, like as far as, like Joe Nathan, whenever we had already moved Jonathan, we didn't want to take him out of his comfort zone. But like I said, with me not working there anymore, and then my husband's hours getting reduced at work, it just made more sense financially to have all the kids in one area versus having some here and then some over there. So me and him talked, and we had decided to go ahead and just move all the kids back over here, because my sister-in-law lives down the street, and I'm going to be helping with my mother-in-law, because I had also let Coach Liska know when I moved Joe Nathan. I actually text Coach Liska, and I had let him know that we were going to be moving Joe Nathan and all the kids. Unfortunately, due to personal issues, which I didn't go into detail, but I did let my principal know at school, the one that I work for, I did give them more of a description of why I was leaving. The issues with my mom, I'm still mourning. I'm still going through a lot with my mom. And then with his job losing hours, it's not something that we're proud of and that we kind of put out everywhere. So I didn't explain to him in detail, but I did tell Coach Liska, I texted him and I told him that I was going to be pulling Joe Nathan. We appreciated everything he did for our kids. And I want to make that clear. I have nothing against Pleasanton because honestly, I love Pleasanton. I mean, I wouldn't have moved our kids there in the first place if it wasn't something that I didn't like. And Coach Liska, he's always been good with my kids. Coach Dumont, I've worked with him several times with, I was on the booster club, on the athletic booster club. So I worked very closely with them on getting the field. So it had nothing to do, honestly, with that them as a coach or as a school, because I love them. But the decision was solely based on our situation financially and personally, and it just made more sense for us to have them here.
What grade is Joe Nathan in?
I'm a sophomore.
Okay, thank you, Joe Nathan. All righty. Any other questions for the family on Joe Nathan at this time? What is your name up there, Mr. Martell?
Yes, I'm kind of confused on the two students leaving their previous school because the mother stated she let them make their choice, but she moved Jonathan, and he said he didn't really know about it, and yet Joe Nathan made his own choice because he wanted to stay, and so he practiced for 6 or 7 days. Then there was a DEC meeting, and it was denied. Stated that he moved for athletic reasons, and the next day, Joe Nathan went to Poteet. So I'm just confused, Mom. If you'd give me that information.
So, like I had said, in March we were planning on moving him. We were planning on moving Jonathan because he was the main one for the on-ramp program. Of course, we weren't in such a bad situation as far as my husband's work, my mom passing, stuff like that. But then, like I said, the whole COVID thing happened, and I had also with my husband's work, I had let Coach Liska know that there was a chance that we would be moving. We didn't know if it was going to be here or where it was going to be because of my husband's job. But the whole COVID thing happened. Like I said, my mom passed away in May, which was shortly after everything happened with COVID. For 2 months, I didn't do anything with it, getting closer to school. So this is something that me and Jonathan had already had. Well, did I talk to him about it much towards the end of 2 months? No, because like I said, my mom passed. I didn't really deal with much of the schooling. And then I had heard that we couldn't transfer over here because they weren't taking transfers. And I figured we were transfers because we were coming from Pleasanton over here. Then I found out that we weren't be considered transfers because we actually live here in town. So the day that he did go to practice, he didn't know anything about it. I went and I talked to them and I got everything situated because you can only take that on-ramp program your junior and senior year. So my concern was getting him in there. Joe Nathan, like I said, we had talked to him about it after I had already transferred Jonathan, and I told him, you know, I didn't want him to feel like we were going to take him out of his comfort zone because, like I said, we don't have anything bad to say about Pleasanton. Pleasanton has been very good with us, and he did decide to stay there. But then just financially and me not deciding to go back shortly after I talked to Joe Nathan and he decided to stay there, my husband and I talked, and I wasn't going to go back to work because I'm just not ready. I'm still going through a lot with my mom's passing. So it just made more sense for us to move all our kids back over here. So we did talk to Joe Nathan about it, and, you know, he was fine with it after that. You know, when we explained to him the whole situation about my husband's job, you know, his lack of hours, if I wasn't going to be working over there, then there's no sense in me having to do two trips, taking them over there and taking them over here. So that's why we ended up just moving everybody over here.
Thank you. Does that answer it, Mr. Martell?
Yes, sir.
Okay. appreciate it. Let's go then to Pleasanton again. Coach, anything on Jonathan that you want to mention?
To just kind of fill in what Ms. Guzman was saying about them moving, she did tell me that the family was possibly moving, but that was with the transfer with her husband's work. So I didn't know anything about them moving to Poteet. Let's just get that straight. It was, we thought, you know, she'd come to me, this was probably in January or so, and said they were, the husband was possibly going to be transferred because the plant was changing ownership and this and that, and his job might get limited. So that follow up on that. And as far as Joe Nathan, I mean, the boys are good boys. I mean, they work hard and so forth. You know, Joe Nathan showed up to practice every day. And after, you know, six more days after Jonathan, the older one, left us on the fourth. And, you know, he worked hard and did well. He was moved up to varsity to his brother's positions. I mean, he was going to be playing those spots. And, you know, I talked to him and told him, you know, that, I there's things going on, but, you know, he was an Eagle and that I was going to, you know, love him as an Eagle and go, you know, go with that. But, you know, that he was part of our family.
Okay. And let me ask you this about the recruiting. You checked number two on his and number six. Talk about both of those, please.
Okay. So number two, I put that because in my mind, to strengthen the older brother, Jonathan's case, I feel like I don't think he's recruited, quote, by the coaching staff, but for family, because it says in their family. So sure. That's where I think for the family to strengthen the case for the older brother to get, the appeal. And then as far as the rest, I mean, that's, you know, again, it's the PAPF. That's why it's there.
Yeah.
And if we're going to have kids that are living 8 miles apart, you know, moving and going, then that's going to be an issue there. And another thing, you know, in Jonathan's original letter, he states at the end of it that, you know, he was moving because of UT on-ramp and this and that. Well, he was already enrolled in the dual credit here at Pleasanton as well. But he states that he was leaving because of education and that his younger brother did not value higher education, that he wanted to stay in Pleasanton because we had a good art department, an art program. So,
Okay. Good points. Let's see. I haven't talked to the district chair, have I? Let's talk first of all to Poteet about Jonathan. Anything you want to say there?
Coach Al, sorry. I just wanted to clarify when he marked the second box about recruitment. I think he kind of cleared it up, but he's saying I want to just clarify that we had no way impossible recruited Jonathan.
Oh, I don't think he made that accusation, and I will say this, as I read through every bit of the information, I didn't feel that way either, so that's not the issue. Thank you. Okay, let's go to our chair. And I should have talked to you after the first one, so you're going to do double duty here, okay? And again, we've already dealt with the issue of closed session versus open sessions. We're not going to worry about that. We're moving forward now. And tell us why you think the vote went as it did in both issues. Let's go start with Jonathan, please. The first one.
Okay. As we worked through the PAPF, Coach Liska went down and gave his reasons. Each member of the committee had a chance to ask Coach Liska questions. And then we also had a chance to ask the family questions. As you pointed out, and I know better now, we did go into closed session. However, it was a Zoom and it was recorded. So if the recording didn't stop in closed session, I thought we did stop it, but we didn't. So if you had a chance to watch the recording, you did pick up the closed session for the conversation. When we came out of closed session, then the motion was made in open session, and a follow-up to the motion was given the reasons why, and Superintendent Jack Seals from Cthulhu mentioned you might have some issues with returning back to Pleasanton. I just wanted to clarify, he was referring to getting as a transfer back to Pleasanton. He wasn't referring to the 30 days you're allowed to go back if you're denied athletic participation. He was referring to the fact that you're a transfer, and if there was any changes in Pleasanton's transfer policy due to COVID, that's what he was making reference to there.
Yes, ma'am.
In that situation. And then the committee voted 6-0. We just basically following the PAPF and the conversations, the questions that we asked the family and that we asked Coach Liska, we felt like it was moving for athletic reasons.
Okay. And that had to do, getting more specific, that had to do with the young man's emphasis on playing one side of the ball?
Yes. Yes. It was the questions that were answered in the PAPF.
Okay.
Coach Liska's answers.
Now let's move to any questions for her on, for our chair on Jonathan. Then on Jonathan, talk to us about that one, please.
When we initially got the PAPF, I contacted Poteet to ask if there was any documentation or anything from the family to add to it, because all we had was Coach Liska's statement. And at the time, they said no, there was nothing to add. When we got to the meeting, I did ask, and Coach House was the one there representing the family and Poteet, and I did ask him if there was anything that the family wanted to add about Jonathan's reasons other than what we had in the PAPF, and because we didn't have anything from the family there. And he mentioned that the family of the student, Jonathan, had told him that he was being bullied at Pleasanton. And so that was the reason for his wanting to move over to Poteet. And then we did go into closed session, ask Coach Liska to explain the PAPF. And he explained the same reasons that he gave today, that he felt like he was being moved to strengthen his brother's case.
Okay.
That meeting didn't last as long. We came out of closed session and again made the motion based on the PAPF information that we had. Now for this hearing, I've seen other information that the student has given a statement, but we did not have that statement in our previous meeting.
Right. Okay.
Can I interject? The accusation was made that Jonathan was bullied by Coach House in that meeting. And I feel like I have a good relationship with Mom, and she would have probably texted me or called me if that was going on. And whenever after the meeting was over for Jonathan, that DEC meeting, I had meetings with my team leaders. We have two or three kids on the team that have been in Pleasanton for, you know, multiple years, 6, 7, 8 years, that still reside in Poteet, just like the Guzmans, just like there's some kids from Pleasanton that live, that go to school over there, and so forth. And I asked those young men if there was anything going on, and they said, no, Coach, there's nothing going on about being bullied. So I just wanted to clarify that to the committee.
Thank you. Anything else for our chair?
Can I say something on that? Coach House. Coach Lizzie said he had a great relationship with the mom. I know when I have an issue with our kids, I directly call the parents. So if I had an issue where a kid refused to play one side of the ball, I'm going to call the parent.
All right.
So we had such a great relationship. Why didn't that relationship come into effect?
Coach. No. We're not going to go there right now. Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's get back to parents now. All right. If nobody has any other questions for anybody else, we're going to let you talk to us about, first of all, Jonathan, and then Jonathan, and just summarize. You've done a really nice job, Mom, especially you. You've been very verbal to us. You've been very helpful in us understanding things a little bit better. And just quickly summarize for us anything that you feel like you haven't said.
So I want to clarify on the first meeting with Jonathan when they had the, and honestly, I didn't even know anything about all this stuff. When I did the transfer for him, I didn't know that it was going to be such a big thing for this. Honestly, I didn't. I figured, you know, he's moving for the on-ramp program. And I think that's where everybody's getting confused because Coach Litzis keeps talking about the dual credit program. Well, Coach Liska knows that I actually helped with the dual credit program in Pleasanton. When I worked in Pleasanton as the paraprofessional, and I took over one of the classes for the dual credit. So I know that they do have a dual credit, and that wasn't even the reason for us bringing him over here. And that's all they kept mentioning. If you go back in the video on the first, when they denied Jonathan, his reasoning for denying him was because they have a dual program, a dual credit program in Pleasanton. So it's the same thing. Yes, but I never told them that he was moving for the dual credit program because I know there's a dual credit program because I was part of the dual credit program. He was moving for the on-ramp program, which his goal after college is to go to UT. And he's a great student. He's a straight A student. He doesn't miss school. When he commits to something, he does it. And that's his goal, is to go to UT. So when I heard about this program back in February, March, I thought it was a good opportunity for him. And he can only take it as junior and senior year. So that's why we were also adamant on him doing it as junior and senior year.
Okay, thank you.
So whenever they made the decision for him the last time, they didn't even give us a reasoning on why they weren't going to allow him to do it. Their reasoning was for the dual credit program, which wasn't even the reason. For Joe Nathan, again, they're both great students. If you look at their backgrounds, they're straight A students. They've never been in trouble. I mean, we push our kids a lot academically. Athletics is awesome. He loves football. That's his passion. And I support him in whatever. But to me, there's more to just high school football when he graduates. So that's what we were looking at, was what's going to benefit him when he graduates. Joe Nathan, on the other hand, he's a sophomore. So he still has 2 more years to decide on what he wants. Jonathan, we have to move quick with him because he only has 2 years left. So we're trying to prep him as much as we can for when he graduates school. And like I said, honestly, I didn't even know that this was going to be such a big deal for me to transfer him for academics. But he's a really great kid, and I don't feel that he should be penalized or any of them should be penalized for my husband first losing hours at work. Me, you know, of course I can't control my mom passing away and me not being there. Even now, it's still hard for me. And making the decision to move him for academics. I just don't feel that that's right, that's fair for him, because he only has 2 years left of school. If you look at it, this year's been uncertain for everybody. With COVID, we didn't even know if school was gonna happen, if athletics, we may not even have a football season. All that takes is for one kid to get it and you're gonna be out for 2 weeks.
Yes, ma'am, we understand all that. You've done a really good job. Please finalize things for us.
So my thing is, we didn't move for athletic reasons. We moved for the reasons of financially and personal reasons. And I feel that that shouldn't be taken away from them because of something that we can't control.
Okay.
You know, they're good kids and they deserve it. You know, they deserve to be able to play where, you know, Jonathan, he's a good kid. He's not a superstar, so that's why I don't understand why it's such a big thing. You know, he's a good kid and he's a good kid.
Let me address that. It hadn't had anything to do whether someone's a superstar or not. It's about rules.
And no, I understand sure that.
We have a level playing field all the way across, so it doesn't matter whether they're a third stringer or an all-state kid. It's about what was the reason for the change. So don't let that part of it bother you.
No, I'm sorry. I just got ahead of myself just because I get very emotional about this stuff right now.
Well, you've done a nice job. Jonathan, you have anything to say?
This is to what Coach Lisco was saying about me emphasizing not wanting to play offense and finding a backup. I never emphasized or made it seem as if I wanted, if I didn't want to play offense. I was willing to play wherever they wanted me to. It was just, I was willing to play defense if they needed it. If they didn't, that was fine, which I made it clear that I would play wherever. But I did not once say for them to find me a backup.
Okay.
Or say anything in that area.
So, Nathan, what about you? Anything?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, y'all done well and given us a lot to think about. Thank you. Any comments or questions for anybody from our group?
Mr. Chair, yes, I just want to comment to Coach Liska and just tell him that, you know, having to check those forms, we've dealt with this. I've been doing it for a number of years, but we see this in many cases. But you know, you didn't have any issues with mom or dad, but the student did make some discouraging comments, basically, you know, about wanting to, you know, not liking his position and all that. And you check those, and you know, that's a tough thing to do, because I can tell just by not even being in person that you have a good relationship with your players and these boys and the parents. So just comment, tell you that, you know, you did what you felt like was right for your school district and the rules that we face, and that, you know, sometimes people have to learn that the comments that they make and when they're moving or when they're going somewhere, come back and could cause problems. The other thing to the parents is that, hey, they, you know, you've got them where you want them. Everything's, you know, it's not just about athletics. Now they're going to be able to use the on-ramps program. I'm very aware of it, but I'm also aware of good dual credit programs. So the boys seem to be where they're going to be, and this was an athletic decision that needed to be made, not about where they're going to school. So commend both of you for your work there. So thank you.
Ms. Denson, do you have something to say?
Well, just to reiterate some of that Mr. Martell had said, you know, it's always a tough decision as far as trying to work with your athletes, your student athletes academically and athletically. And with that said, and with parents, you have to make decisions sometimes that are not as favorable with everyone else. And you make those decisions based on what you and your family need or believe. And also Mr. Martell made a comment about the previous athletic participation form. It's very difficult for coaches to check those boxes. It's not something, when you have a relationship with your athletes, it's very difficult to go in there and mark that box that they move for change for athletic purposes. So it's not an easy thing for coaches either. So whatever the decision is today, we're all going to go forth, and those young men are going to do great things because, as you said, they're great students. He'll be in the on-ramp program, and that's his focus. And if that's it, Jonathan's focus, then he'll do well. He'll do well. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else, committee members? All right, it's time to make a decision. Again, we're going to do this one student at a time. We're going to start with Jonathan, student A on your documentation. It's time to either grant the appeal and overturn the ruling by the district executive committee, which would declare Jonathan Guzman eligible for varsity athletics at Poteet High School, or to deny the appeal. All in favor of granting the appeal, please raise your right hand. All in favor of denial, please raise your right hand. It is unanimous denial. We go then to student B, Jonathan, either grant the appeal or to deny it. All in favor of granting the appeal, please raise your right hand. All in favor of denial, please raise your right hand. It is unanimous. Jonathan and Jonathan, good luck to you. Appreciate everybody's input today. If you have any thing that you need to say to anybody as a family, you can holler at Mr. Beasley. And with that having been said, this particular hearing is over, and we'll be removing those who are members of that part of it from our Zoom. Thank you.
So what's the point of having a Zoom?
All right. Caroline, are we ready for CC?
Yes, I'm going to start bringing people in now.
All righty.
We have one more guest who is still joining.
Okay, mighty good. We are a patient group. Caroline, is that all of us?
It looks like that's all that was in the waiting room. Is the family at the school? Okay, perfect.
Yes, yes ma'am.
There you are.
We do have everybody.
Very good. All right, we want to welcome y'all to the UIL State Executive Committee hearing. This is hearing CC. And we are going to ask you, first of all, to unmute and raise your right hand. We need to swear you in. Caroline is going to do that. The appropriate response from you will be, I do.
Okay, let's make sure everybody is unmuted. Coach Morton, if you can unmute.
Coach Morton?
Might be frozen.
Yeah, he's frozen.
Okay, we'll go ahead and swear in those that we can see now, and we'll swear in later if we need to. Okay. Raise your right hand. There we go. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you very much. Let me give you a little information on the hearing. We're going to start by verifying some information and asking questions of the family members. Once we're finished with that, we'll go to others who are involved. Once we finish with them, we'll get back to parents. We may have some more questions, not just parents, but family members, whoever's involved. And then we'll allow you the opportunity to finalize and say anything that you need to say in summary. Okay. All right, this is hearing CC, and it's Texarkana Pleasant Grove High School, Pillar District 84A, Division 2 Executive Committee decision regarding the eligibility of a student athlete, Section 443, changing schools for athletic purposes. Mr. Beasley?
DEC 84A, Division 2, met on August 19th, 2020, and ruled that Jalen Pascal moved from Arkansas High School the Texarkana Pleasant Grove High School for athletic purposes with a vote of 5-0. Item number 6 was checked yes on the PAPF, and item number 1 was checked yes on the eligibility questionnaire. The student parent is appealing the ruling of the DEC.
All right, thanks, sir. All right, let's identify ourselves real quickly. I'm Mike Mother, retired superintendent. Ms. Martell? Ms. Martell, you want to identify yourself?
Gary Martell, superintendent, Moody ISD.
Ms. Denson?
Johanna Denson, retired athletic administrator.
Mr. Wade?
Darrell Wade, retired athletic administrator of Houston.
All right, thank you. Is that all of us? There's Dr. Caldwell. You want to identify yourself?
Retired superintendent.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to start with family members. When was the move or the change made? What was the dates?
The actual that move in my move-in date was August 3rd. But I knew my lease was going to be up, but it was going to be May. He moved over with his father on May 24th.
May 24th. I understand he did go with his father at that point in time. And let's just talk about, Mom, you can answer this. And now is this, excuse me, is this Jalen?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Jalen. Let's just talk a little bit about the reason for the change. There's been some discussion here from Dad, but we haven't heard much from you, Mom, or you, Jalen. What was the reason for the change?
Okay, I decided to move Jalen over. I wanted to get Jalen into a better school as far as Jalen's learning process. Jalen was at Arkansas High. I love Arkansas High. That's my alma mater. Jalen was over at Arkansas High, and he was failing a couple classes, and he was still allowed to play sports. Once we got everything transferred over in May and we met with the counselors during the summer and everything, we found out Jalen has to have two Spanishes, he was failing science. He has to have two of those right now, and I just wanted better for Jalen. And that's why I decided to move over. I work in Texas, and that's why I decided to move. We as parents want best for our kids, and that's what I wanted for my child. Jalen is my baby, and I want what's best for him. And that's why I decided to move Jalen over.
Okay, there was some discussion from Dad that you had approached him about moving Jalen with him. Did you make that approach?
No, sir, I actually didn't. I don't know exactly where that came from. Jalen's father is a war veteran that has a glass eye, has shrapnel in his head, and he has hearing problems. I feel like Jalen's dad was just rambling off at the mouth at the time, just giving some good conversation to somebody that would listen.
Okay. All right. Is he here?
No, sir.
All right. What other questions does anyone have for the family right now? All right, we'll get back to you a little bit later, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go to Coach Morton.
Yes, sir.
Please identify yourself.
Yeah, I'm Joseph Tyler Morton. I'm the defensive coordinator at Arkansas High School and on the Arkansas side of Texarkana.
Okay, very good. Now, you are the resource that we have about anything that has to do with Dad, okay? You were very specific about conversations with him, about him asking you to meet him, and he was needing some financial help, things like that. But tell us why y'all checked number six. That it was a change for athletic purposes?
Because of the conversations we had with him. Originally, I'm not getting the whole spill again, but what happened was we found out through the grapevine that Jalen was going to move. He's a good young man. And he was one of the leaders on our team. And so, we were trying to figure out what was going on. What's he moving for and why? And so the very – first day we talked, me and him talked, Jay and I talked through text, and then Dad called me. We had, conversations, and the whole thing that was said to me was that there was turmoil in his household, in his mom's household that Jalen was staying in, and that was the original conversation. But then he made statements like, talking about college football, like, you know, if he's a Division II player, then, you know, I'll support him anyway. Well, that didn't equate what we were talking about. So it through the grapevine, through the process, you could tell that something was fishy, you know, and you know, it seemed like somebody, you know, had told Jalen the right things to say, you know, things like, I'm not moving for athletic purposes, things of that nature. And then just through conversations with the dad, you know, it came to light that, I mean, he said he's 100% moving for athletic reasons to try to get a D1 scholarship. And like I said, I told him in the district meeting, I'm not here to bludgeon Jalen. I wish him all the best. I hope it works out for him. I'm just telling what was told to me by the father. And his mom did tell me that, you know, when I talked to her that first night, that she was that Jalen was still a hog at the time, and that he was going to be a Razorback, you know, for the time being. And then we found out through the grapevine that he had already enrolled at Pleasant Grove, you know. And so, you know, we checked box 6 because that's the information that came to light through the father. So okay. That's my answer.
Any questions for Coach? Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Do we have any representatives from Pleasant Grove High School?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Typically, please identify yourself.
Yes, sir. Can you still see me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Our screen went out. I'm Josh Gibson. I'm the athletic director at Pleasant Grove.
All right. Thank you. And typically, the receiving district, in this case, you folks there at Pleasant Grove, don't have a lot to offer as far as the reason for the change. Do you have anything that you can tell us that might be of importance?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. The first thing is in our DEC meeting, and I want to go back to what Coach Morton just said, and he wrapped up with that was information that came from the father. There was never a comment in our whole DEC that something came from Jalen. So if the father seems like he was coached up, I've still never spoke to the father in Jalen's situation. And so I think that's the important thing here, is the question is based off a conversation that Jalen was not living with, nor is he living with now. And the details on the dad, I can attest to that, because his two other daughters went to our school last year and graduated. They have two other in Pleasant Grove. He is a war veteran. He has one eye. He's missing an ear. He's the only parent in our district that had a cop called on him last year when he was up at our school district. There was chaos between him and another parent. And to his credit, like the good and the bad of Mr. Pascal, he found out he drove back to the school to meet with him and then to try to make it right. But that's all. That's information that our principal could share with you. It doesn't have anything to do with this hearing, other than that's the character of, and that's the situation with his dad. And so the letters, the coach says one thing, the father says another, but in the letter and in the statement, it's based on what the father said. Jalen didn't say those things, nor did his mom say any of that. It states that he met with the dad, the letter, on Sunday, June 7th, and they talk again on the 8th, at which time he states in the letter, Jalen's mom said that he wanted him at Pleasant Grove no matter what. This speaks to the fact that Jalen's dad was never going to be in control of his living environment, nor has a say to the fact of why they wanted him at Pleasant Grove. In wrapping up at our DEC meeting, I do think it's relevant to bring up the fact that Arkansas has gone from 1,350 students to 750 students. There's people that are moving out of there. And the coach says, we aren't here to hurt Jalen. At minute 37:30, he says, we aren't here to hurt Jalen. We're just trying to send a message and protect our program. And that, to me, I don't think that has anything to do with his situation. And so I do think it's important to also note that when I call Coach Norton, he admits that he's never had a conversation with the mom. He never had a conversation with Jalen about the move. That's their athletic director, AD. He's, he He said that there was never a dissatisfaction and never an issue. He said he never spoke to the dad. So we have a dad that was contacted by assistant coaches, and all this was done, a lot of it, after he was at PG. There's evidence that the text messages were reaching out to Jalen and his dad. And
yeah, we've seen those. We've got all that information.
Okay, and so I think we're talking about the character of a man who they're going after and who can be easily manipulated, but there's nothing from the mom on that end.
All right, you need to close it out.
Okay.
Are you finished?
Let me look through my notes because I wanted to go through this.
What we need from you is firsthand knowledge, anything that has to do with the reason for the change.
Okay.
Not necessarily poking holes in what somebody else has said, but what do you have? That's what I need. That's what this group needs.
Yes, sir. Okay. So all I know is I never spoke to Jalen before he enrolled at our school. I think that's very important information. Those first five boxes were all checked, you know, in his favor, in our favor. I think it was on the up and up. He's got four siblings at our school. I think that's why mom moves him over, is because it's a great school district, and that's why he's there. So I do feel like I need to step up for him and say in my heart and soul, I know kids move for athletic reasons. And I know a lot of times they reach out to people and they contact them and do things wrong. And on his mom's behalf and on his behalf, who it deals with, I don't think there is anything done in a way that speaks to their character or him moving for any other reason than just a better school, not for athletic reasons.
Thank you, Coach.
Yes, sir.
All right. Any questions for Coach? District Chair, where are you?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Thompson. Went through a very nice process in this hearing, by the way. We get a chance to look at all different kinds of things, so thank you for a good job.
Thank you.
Tell us why you think the vote went 5-0.
I think there was a couple of questions. One, during the DEC noted the mother said the father didn't really have anything to do with the student's education at all, but yet she chose to use his address to enroll him in Pleasant Grove, even though knowing she was going to move there herself a couple of months later. That came to question. And then twice during the meeting were asked, you know, why the move, kind of like y'all asked, and, you know, why Pleasant Grove over Arkansas High? And there was never a definitive reason. It was both schools are good. Both offer great programs, both are great schools. So there was no definitive reason as to the move in our minds other than athletics.
Okay. Questions for our chair? All right. Let's get back to mom and Jalen then. There we go. Thank you. What questions do you have for these two? Anybody? All right. Mom, Jalen, you have the floor to summarize anything you need to at this point.
I just want to say on behalf of me and Jalen that we didn't do anything for athletic purposes. Jalen is a smart kid. He's a very bright, he's a great student. Jalen is never in trouble, never nothing. I never thought that me moving to another district would come to all of this just because Jalen plays football. People do it all the time. They move to different districts. I never thought it would come to this just because I wanted better for my child. Like I told you, Jalen, he had poor grades over at Arkansas High.
I was speaking with his stepmom. His stepmom was telling me how great of experience the other kids had over there. I moved him over closer to be with the siblings, get a better education, and I never thought it would come to this as far as on this behalf as Jalen. We never moved anything. Jalen's gonna be what Jalen's gonna be regardless of he stays, if he's in a football program or not. We've prayed about this situation and everything is in God's hand right now. So whatever Jalen, whatever God has for Jalen is for Jalen. I never thought it would even come to this because I decided to move. It was never nothing with the father or anything like that. I decided to move my child over. And like I said, I'm an alma mater of Arkansas High, and I love Arkansas High to death. I still wear Razorbacks. It's nothing against Arkansas High. I decided to move my child over because I want what's best for Jalen. I've raised Jalen, and I'm going to continue to raise Jalen even after this situation is over.
Would you clarify something for me? You yes, said sir. Something that confused me just a little bit.
Yes, sir.
And that is, you talked about both schools were great schools. Mm-hmm. And all, and that he was a good student.
Yes, sir.
Yet, one of the reasons you give was that he was failing.
Yes, sir, he was.
Those two statements don't match up. Can you explain that?
Jalen, he had a couple grades over for as far as his science grade, and I'm not here to bash Arkansas High or anything like that. Jalen had a couple failing grades over there. And actually, I really didn't even know about it until the end of the school. But as soon as I got over and got to speaking with the counselors and everything, she told me, did you know Jalen was failing this? And he hasn't took Spanish, and he needs to take two Spanishes to graduate and everything. I was never contacted or anything about that at Arkansas High until I received the report card in the mail.
Okay. Jalen, what would you say to us?
I just want to say that I never really thought it would come to this because I wasn't moving for athletic purpose. I was moving for a better education, a better environment, really, because, like, these few weeks I have been at Pleasant Grove, that it has been a better education-wise. I have got more one-on-one help that could help me and brought my grades up. And I'm just thankful for everything.
When you say for a better environment, what do you mean?
Like, my sisters and brothers and them over here, and then the part, like, the better environment is, like, I'm not bashing Arkansas High, but I did see a lot of fights and things over there at the old school. And that was kind of stuff that was going on during the time.
Okay. You've been there how long?
I went to Arkansas High. I went there for my first 3 years.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well done, folks. Do we have a question? Okay. Any comment from committee members?
Mr. Motherall?
Yes, sir.
I want to apologize to the group. We had, I guess, right at the beginning of Mon's opening statement, we had a bad storm here, so I missed quite a bit of the testimony, so I would like to withdraw from voting on this, and I apologize.
That's very understandable. Technology. Thank you, Mr. Wade. Anybody else have anything that needs to be added? Any questions, any comments? All right, it's time to make a decision to either grant the appeal and overturn the ruling by the District Executive Committee, which would declare Jalen Patskill eligible for varsity athletics at Texarkana Pleasant Grove High School, or to deny the appeal. All in favor of granting the appeal, please raise your right hand. All in favor of denial, raise your right hand. It's unanimous. And as we know, for the record, Mr. Wade abstained. Okay. Hey, Jalen, we wish you nothing but the best, young man. You say you're going to a good place. You're at a good spot. Good luck there. Good luck in the future. And if y'all have any questions about any UIL questions, you can contact Mr. Beasley and talk to him about those. That concludes this hearing.
Thank you.
We'll be, all right, as we move forward. Do we have any new business today? Announcements?
I think Doc's trying to talk. Can you hear?
Yeah, he is.
I guess he's on mute.
He's unmuted, Dr. Brad.
Yeah, it's. I thought it was unmuted. But again, thank you all for your collective wisdom and for your courage to make decisions that you think are the best, and appreciate all that you've done and you have done today, and your attention to the details here. You asked some great questions. We're blessed to have each of you as committee members. You have, through the past years, have shown your diligence to this and your dedication to the UIL, not just to our rules, but to the process and to the kids of this great state. So I'm proud of you and thankful for what you do.
And we want to say thanks to the staff as always. Caroline's put a lot of time in on this. This Zoom thing has made her life tougher. And of course, Mr. Beasley, always nice job. So appreciate y'all. Committee members, thank you. I'm sure we'll be hollering back at you pretty quick. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let's adjourn this meeting at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Bye.